What's the point? It was, what's the point of coming to church on Sunday? And if you're here this morning, I assume you got the point. And so now we can move on to the second What's the Point series, or installment. And that one is, what's the point of serving in church ministry? And so we're going to ask, what's the point of serving in church ministry this morning? If you look and you see here, we've got this graph. If this graph is new to you, basically, this is what we show new members during our new members class, and it's kind of the four key areas of being a member at Trinity, the four things that we sort of focus on and communicate that are important to us. And you'll see that it all revolves around this big personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we talked last week about how it was important for us to gather together and publicly worship God. And that's why we do that on Sunday mornings. That's why we show up here. But this morning we're going to talk about why we serve, and why it's absolutely unapologetically a part of what is manifested when we have a personal relationship with Jesus. And we're going to look at what his word says about it. We're going to look at some stories about his church getting started and how serving in his church is absolutely vital to our relationship with Christ. So before we dive in, let me pray for us. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. God, we just ask that as we look at your word, as we open your word this morning and read stories of your people. God, we see letters written to your church, that we would be able to receive your word. That we would see these stories as aspirations, as an inspiration. God, that we could dedicate our lives to your church as well. That we would be obedient to serve you and to serve your church, that we would make you the head of this place, that we would make you the center of this place, the focus. God, that you would drive all of our service, that you would drive all of our ambitions, that you would drive everything that we do, all the plans we make. God, that we just use this time to speak to us, to guide us, that your spirit would prompt us, would encourage us, and that we would just be a people that responds to your word, and that we would respond in service to your church. Help us this morning to see your word clearly. In your name I pray, amen. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 6, starting there, and then moving to Romans 12. So if you want to go ahead and kind of hold your place in Acts chapter 6 and Romans 12. There's all kinds of ways to serve in the church. There's all kinds of ways to get involved in serving in the church. A few years ago, I got a text message from Matt Adams. Just a little quick side, Matt actually texted me a few weeks ago. He's praying for our church, and he's doing well. His family's doing well. He's serving at a church in Texas. If you don't know Matt, he was our longtime youth minister and then executive pastor. But Matt texted me a few years ago, and he just said, hey, would you consider being the 8th and 9th grade small group boy or boys small group leader? And I texted him back, yeah, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. But what I really meant was, I need more time to think and pray about how I'm going to tell you no. Right? Anybody ever done that? So they meet on Wednesday nights. I got that text on a Monday. Tuesday, I text him back and say, hey, man, I'm considering this. I need to call you, though. I've got some questions before I commit to this. And I get nothing back. No text, no phone call. So I'm like, okay. And then Wednesday comes. And Wednesday comes, and I get another text message from Susan Smith. And she says, Tyler, everything you need is in the youth building. The binder is in the cabinet with the devotionals. You can grab there, and I'll be there if you need anything. I'm like, okay. So at this point, I call Matt, And when I call Matt, he doesn't answer. And then I get a text message back and he says, "Hey man, I'm sorry, I really can't talk right now. And I'm at MD Anderson." If you know Matt, you know he's had a long time battle with cancer and a successful battle, but part of that is routine treatments at MD Anderson. And this is one of those days that it fell on. And so he was obviously very preoccupied. And so I knew, I can't bother him. I can't get out of this. So I tell Val, "Look, I'm just going to show up tonight. I'll fill in. I'll work something out." And so I show up Wednesday night. I'm introduced to David Thiemann. David Thiemann is an awesome college student, a faithful volunteer in our youth ministry, and play ping pong with the kids for a little while, and then he gathers the guys around, the 8th and 9th grade boys, and introduces me to the group, and he says, "Hey guys, this is Tyler. He's going to be your new leader for 8 to 10 weeks." And I was like, "Awesome. Nice to meet you guys." And that's how I got involved in youth ministry. And some of you guys may have gotten involved in the ministries you're serving in a similar way. Maybe you just fell into them. Maybe you were voluntold. Apologize if that happened to you. In fairness, I had just become an elder, so it was a fair ask, right? But the point is to say, no matter where you're at and where you find yourself or how you got there, this morning, the message, I want to be absolutely clear. The point of this message is not to show you the point of serving in his church so that you'll be convinced and then you'll do it. There's no sign-up form at the end of this. There's not going to be a campaign at the end of this. Most of us are in here and we already serve. And so the message that I want to be absolutely clear with this morning is that it's not pointless. The work that you do for this church has a point. It's not pointless. If you find yourself discouraged, stay faithful. If you're in a ministry and you feel like you signed up and you're at a different stage of life, we need to stay faithful. I want to encourage us this morning. I want to encourage us with God's word as we look and see how his people were formed by participating in his church. It's how he designed it. He designed his church to be used by us and for us to serve in it. And so this morning, the message for us is to just stay faithful in service, to be encouraged by that truth. No matter if you're actually in the middle of trying to formulate a text on how to bow out or quit in your ministry, right? The reality is so much has changed for the ministries that we're involved in, right? I want this message to be encouraging to us, not because I can be a great motivational speaker, but because we can see how it's in God's word. It's God's design. It's his plan for us to be serving in this church. And the work that we do here has a point. It's not pointless. So let's turn to Acts chapter 6 and read his word. Acts chapter 6, let's do one of these again. In Acts chapter 6 is, in my opinion, a pretty fragile moment at the beginning of the early church, right? Things were just starting to sort of formulate, become a routine. And then there's this fragile moment in Acts chapter 6. It's the first complaint we see about a ministry. The first complaint in an established ministry. The early church had just gotten started. I'll read it and then I want to read a little bit of the background. This is chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, Pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith of the Holy Spirit, and Philip of Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas and the proselyte of Antioch. I'm sorry for all that. These they said before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So here you see the first sort of chink in the armor of this new church that seemed to be just like explosive growth. The first problem, let me give us a little bit of background. I'm going to read Acts chapter 2. This is verse 42. This will be familiar. It's our picture of the early church. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. And there was many signs and wonders being done through the apostles, and they all had things in common, and they were together. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, they were attending the temple and breaking bread, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts, and the Lord was adding to their number. And then we move on to chapter 4, verses 32. It says, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And there was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. And so you could see they had established a ministry. A ministry where people were selling things and putting it in front of the apostles, and the apostles were redistributing it as they saw need. And in chapter 6, it starts by saying, now in these days. It was as if time had passed and things had been established. There was now a daily distribution. There was a daily distribution of these things, and some widows were being left out. And there was a complaint about it, a fair complaint, right? This whole thing had been established, and they were providing for any who had need as they saw it. And now all of a sudden, there was a certain group of widows who were being neglected. And this couldn't fly. This was not okay. This wasn't going to stand, right? They had to solve this problem. And so here's what they do. Here's how they solve this. It says, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Now, we read that and we sort of tend to project our own kind of like religious hang-ups, right? We sort of like read that with this kind of tone of like religious piety of like, oh, I'm it's too important the work that I do preaching the word. I couldn't spend time, you know, serving tables. I don't think that was really the case here. The apostles had shown time after time their service and their devotion and their willingness to serve. What they were getting at is the reality that we can't do both of these things. There's just not enough time. There's not enough capacity. And so the other reality was we can't make a choice. Right. We want to do both of these things. We want to do both of these ministries. They're both important. And so instead of choosing, instead of drawing a line in the sand and saying, okay, preaching the word of God is important, and we're going to let this other thing sort itself out, they didn't make a choice. Right? What happened is they raised people up to meet the need. People were brought in to fill the ministry. That's the first point this message this morning, is that God uses his people to teach and serve his people. God uses his people to teach and serve his people. In essence, it was like, I just want to say, God wants to do all the ministry. He wants to do both. He wants to do all the ministry. He just needs people to be brought in to do it. God is using his people to teach and serve his people. They didn't make a choice here. They rose up people to meet that need so that they could both serve and teach. We see this kind of split of service and teaching again in 1 Peter 4 when Peter writes to the church and says, if you've got the gift of speaking, then speak as if oracles from God. And if you've got the gift of serving, then get out there and serve. This is how God is building his church. This is a response to his design for his church. He uses his people to serve and to teach. He doesn't do it really another way. And so the beautiful part of Acts chapter 6 is they're establishing his church as Jesus is building his church as he promised to do. He doesn't make a split. He doesn't make a choice here. He raises people to get involved and to meet the needs. And so we're to do the same thing. Jesus wants every widow fed. He wants every kid and every youth taught. Right? He wants us all discipled. He wants us all with our needs met. He wants to raise us up to do that work. He wants to use his people to teach and serve his people. It's an amazing picture of God's design right out of the gate for his church. And so if you look again at this slide, and you'll see that really the serving opportunities are what are created for every other circle here. Sunday mornings, mission opportunities, and small groups, those don't exist. They don't function without the serving opportunities fueling them. All of this is possible when we sign up to serve, when we are obedient in response to God's will and his plan for his church. It's not pointless. It's how God wants to use us. It's his will. He uses his people to teach and serve. So Acts kind of gives us, it gives us that foundation, right? It gives us, it sort of establishes a precedent of how God wants to use us in his church to teach and to serve. And I want to move now to Romans 12. And Romans 12, when we look at Romans 12, we kind of leapfrog a little bit in time. And his church is a little bit more established. And Romans, the first half of it, is mostly about doctrine and theology of all these amazing things that God has done in us and for his church. And then in 12, it kind of shifts gears, and it shows us how we're to live. How we're to live in his church. How we're to serve his church. From the what to sort of the how and the why. And so I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 through 8, and then we'll dive into it. Romans 12, 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And so right out of the gate, we see Paul setting the stage for how it is we're to live, how it is we're to actually do this ministry. And the first thing is a job qualification, if you will. And the first one is to be willing to serve anywhere. We see using your bodies as a living sacrifice. Being willing to serve anywhere is the first qualification to serving in his church. Because it's the first qualification to serving Christ. Throughout Scripture, you see Paul and Peter, the apostles, describing themselves as bondservants, slaves. Total ownership is what they've given Christ over their lives. And so because of that, you even see Jesus, as he teaches, as people try to gather towards him and be his disciples, he brings extreme warnings to them about what will cost them, about the life that they will live as a result of following him. And so the first qualification to serving in his church is to be willing to be a servant and serve anywhere. Not because it's loyalty to Trinity, but it's because it's a byproduct of loyalty to Christ. And that ultimately when we're obedient and submitting to him and we say, I will follow you, Jesus, then we will serve his church. But we will serve his church only when we're willing to serve anywhere. It's the qualification of following Jesus. That we will just be obedient. We'll have an attitude like he had of just absolute service. Anytime, anywhere, any place, right? Welcome to VBS. Right, being willing to serve anywhere, it's the first qualification. Not only does he give us sort of this job qualification with a call to being a living sacrifice and all that's wrapped up in that, he gives us job descriptions. He continues in verses 3-8, and talks about what it is that we actually do. And before he even dives into what we should actually do, he literally tells us to sober up, right? To use sober judgment. Some of our teaching or some of our translations might say think sensibly, right? He cautions us to not be to not think more highly than we ought to about ourselves, right? To be calculated in what we're actually able to contribute. Right, not in a discouraging way. In fact, he's just causing, this is the attitude of serving, right? If you're going to serve like Christ, then it starts with humility. But he does that to tee up to say this, we're one body with many functions. It's another place in Scripture where he uses that analogy of us being a body. So many different and diverse functions. This week at VBS, it's a case study of that. There's going to be such a variety of things going on. People will be teaching kids. People will be teaching kids how to dance. People will be feeding kids, fixing bobos. I'm going to be the DJ before and after the large group meetings, which is really stretching the first point of either teaching or serving. I'm not exactly sure where that lands in that spectrum, but it shows you where we are in our life right now, because my girls are really excited about their dad being the VBS DJ, which I know I've got like another year at best of that. So I'm taking it while I got it. But it's going to be incredibly diverse, all the different functions. Every time you show up here on a Sunday, every time you show up at your small group, every time you show up in the ministry that you're a part of, it's incredibly diverse, all the different functions, right? We can read them here. If you have gifts in serving, then serve. Teaching, then teach. If you're encouraging, then go be encouraging, right? All of these different functions, we have, these are our duties to provide for the church. And so the job description is this: if you blank, then blank. That's for you to fill out. It's going to be different for each of us. And so whatever it is that you do, go and do it. Even the way it's written here, it just, like, he just repeats it. If in service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching. It's written almost as like, yeah, teach, and then one more time with feeling. Then in teaching, like, it's in the act of the thing that we're given to do that we actually get to experience what God's grace is for us, right? It's we activate it when we actually do it. And so that's a blank for you to fill out. Whatever gifts you've been given, whatever abilities you've been given, go and do them and hitch it to his church. Hitch those things to his church. It's his design, as we saw, for him to use his people. And so the things that we do are not pointless because God has given them to us to use as a gift. It's his grace in our lives at work. It's his grace. If you don't know how to fill in those blanks, if you're not sure how to fill in those blanks, then I want to turn your attention to Romans 12, verses 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God." See, we talked about the qualifications. If you're willing to serve anywhere, not because you want to serve Trinity, but because you're willing to serve Christ, then you're qualified to sign up for anything, right? And through that testing, you will discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Some of you guys might be signed up for things right now you're going to be horrible at, right? I didn't say that in first service. I probably shouldn't have said it here. That's from experience, right? There are some things that we sign up for, that we volunteer. It takes time for us to discern what it is that God has for us. But we can do that when we're qualified because we've just given everything to Jesus. We've said, "Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to serve your church. Where? What? I'll do it." Try things out. In discerning that, you will find something. You'll see a pattern, and you'll be affirmed in what you're good at. So just to encourage you, dive in, stay faithful. Right, find a place to serve. Again, it's almost like he says one more time with feeling. Just get in there and do it. If you are one who contributes, then give generously. Then give generously. If you're one who leads, lead with zeal. Our church needs that. If you're one who does acts of mercy, I've been thinking about that one this week. Acts of mercy, that's such a, seems like an awesome one. Like, there's so much there, but I just know, man, we all need acts of mercy, incredible acts of mercy. So if that's you, we're ready for it with cheerfulness, right? Just continue to do the job. Stay faithful in it. It's got a point. And so if Romans 1 and 2 is our job qualifications and 3 through 8 is our job description, then really I see verses 9 through 21 as almost our employee handbook, right? Some of us may have job descriptions, but I doubt very few of us have recently read our company's employee handbook, right? So maybe some of you guys are in HR and you read your employee handbook all the time. I had to write an employee handbook one time, and we added a reality TV leave. We had a guy who was constantly applying for Big Brother, and he wanted to make sure that he had a job if he ever did get on there and came back. And so we added a reality TV leave to our employee handbook. But other than that, we never really read it, right? We just went and we did our jobs. And the last point this morning is to not miss the true minister. To not take our assignment, to not take our gifts, and to use them at the in the church and to do ministry and forget the minister, the true minister. And so verses 9 through 21, to me, they read like this incredible handbook. This is the way that we're supposed to do this ministry. That whatever it is, if you teach, then you need to be teaching like this. If you serve, you need to be serving like this. And I just want to read 9 through 21. There's not a ton to unpack here. There's not a lot of teaching that needs to go along with these verses. So as we read this, I just want you to hear, most of this is ripped straight from Jesus' teachings. You can hear his teachings in this. And so as I read this to you, I want you to just let this be our guide to not miss how we're to minister. And just encourage us. And this is 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. I mean, right out of the gate, let love be genuine. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about all the spiritual gifts that we're given, again, for his church. And then in 13, it's the famous few verses, right? That says, none of it matters if we don't love. Right? If without love, it's just noise. We don't want to be a noisy church. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another. This is a competition in honoring one another. What a completely different competitive environment. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Don't get lazy about being excited. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Constant in prayer. What an incredible mantra for ministry. This is something I want to look at in the mirror on a daily basis. Just rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, being constant in prayer. This is vital to the ministry that we do. We won't survive if we're not doing these things. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. This is a daily practice in ministry. As we meet people, we rejoice with them, we weep with them. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. No one else is going to tell you that. Never be wise in your own sight. As we do ministry, we have to be humble enough to realize wisdom comes from the Lord. The more we do ministry, the more we'll think we've got it figured out, and we'll miss the true minister. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in sight of all. Thoughtfully trying to honor people. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. A responsibility we bear. We have a responsibility to live peacefully with one another. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head, which is a good thing we don't have time for. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I mean, these are things you could spend your lifetime doing, and that's the point, is to not do ministry and miss how we're to minister and who the actual minister is. This morning, I just want to encourage us to stay faithful, to do Jesus's ministry. That when we've signed up to be a part of something happening here at Trinity, that first it would be as a byproduct of our devotion to Christ. That we'd be willing to serve anywhere because we're willing to serve Jesus. And that all that that comes with, all that he wants to use us for, all that he wants to transform in our lives, that we would just be obedient first to him. And that we would use the gifts that he's given us and we would use them faithfully, but we wouldn't miss all the way that we're supposed to do it. We wouldn't miss the true minister. And so I'll end with this. Let Jesus minister to you and let Jesus use you to minister to others. Jesus was the one who modeled these things. Jesus was the one who made them possible. He sent his Spirit to indwell in us, to completely transform us into this picture. And in short, Jesus is the point. Serving in church ministry, he's the point. It's him. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for the ministries that we're involved in. God, we pray for your encouragement. God, we want to be faithful to you. We want to be faithful to you and respond in how the ways that you've designed for your church. God, that we would get out of the way. God, that you would change us to be obedient to this call you've placed on our lives. This call to be a forgiving people. God, a call to feed our enemies. That we would just live this way because you make us into a person that reflects who you are. God, we desire for you to lead this church, to lead our ministries, for us to just continue to put you at the head of this church. So this morning, I just pray that you would minister to us and that we could, in return, minister to those. In your name we pray. Amen.
And if you will go ahead and stand with us this morning, we're going to...